This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning together with Philip C. Switching our attention to a country that's just had their elections is, of course, Germany, where the centre-left Social Democrats narrowly won the country's federal elections, beating the party of outgoing Chancellor Angela Merkel, according to preliminary results. But whoever becomes the next chancellor has enormous shoes to fill.
Well, he or she has to lead Europe's foremost economy over the next 4 years, and so the horse trading begins to form the next government as the respective parties jockey for position to build the next coalition. Now, this could have significant implications on future policies and the role of Germany in the world. And what does this really mean for us in Asia and Europe? And are the results an indictment on Angela Merkel's over 60-year reign as chancellor?
Wow, long time, right? One of the longest ever.
Actually, by this December, she will be the longest reigning chancellor if they still can't get their act together and get a chancellor.
Oh, yes, because she's supposed to be in charge until they find...
Right, surpassing Helmut Kohl.
Yeah. But to help us shed some light on the recent developments is Dr. Frederick Klein, Center for Multilateralism Studies at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. Good morning. Now, the Social Democrats have emerged the largest party as a result of the elections. But can we assume that Olaf Scholz will be the next chancellor?
Hi, Salamat Ami. Good morning across the causeway. Thank you for your interest in German politics. Then Olaf Scholz can be expected to be chancellor, yes. So it's as you said rightly in your introduction, it was a relatively narrowly win, yet it was a win. So what that means is that there is still some confusion. The CDU-CSU has said that they would still reserve the right to form a government, which is their constitutional right. After all, it is not the people who elect the chancellor, it is the parliament, and whoever can command a majority in parliament can be elected chancellor. So that option is still there, but that would be symbolically relatively difficult to do, I guess. So Olaf Scholz can be expected to be chancellor. The question is, how long will that take? And you said it rightly in your introduction as well, that Angela Merkel will probably become the longest reigning chancellor in German history. And I would expect that to be true. In fact, people are wondering whether she will still be reading the New Year's address. that's not so unlikely. I think in the long run, we can probably expect Olaf Scholz to get a coalition together. It will take a long time.
Dr. Frederick, what's your take? Is it Jamaica or Kenya? Mm. Because fundamentally, what's going to happen is it's going to be this all sorts of potential permutations and coalitions that will come as a result of this election. So who's going to be the kingmaker?
So I expect it actually to be traffic light, right? So what we in Germany do is we try to give our coalitions funky names. And the most likely is probably what we call a traffic light, which is red for the SPD, green for the Greens, and then yellow for the FDP, which is the market liberal party, one of the long traditional parties as well. So and there you have your kingmakers, right? You have the market liberal FDP and you have the Greens as the kingmakers. So they could, in theory, form what they call Jamaica, right, which would be together with the Blacks, with this, which is the CDU-CSU. But I expect that they will probably go with the SPD and will form a traffic light coalition. So now here's the problem. The Greens are relatively similar in terms of program and ideology to the SPD. So that should be a relatively natural coalition. The problem is here that they need the FDP on board. And the FDP is a market liberal party, at least in terms of domestic politics, almost diametrically opposed to the Greens, to much of the Green program at least, right? So questions are about... So for instance, look at climate change, right? So there is broad consensus among all parties that we need to address this problem, right? That we need to become CO2 neutral and so forth. The question is, how do we do that, right? And there are literally two diametrically opposed propositions, right? From the FDP, it is more like investing in R&D, investing in the private sector to increase their innovation capacity and so forth. And the Greens would rather do it via more state-directed policies, right? So getting out of combustion engines, for example, right? Those kind of things. So we have state regulation versus a market liberal approach. And those kind of things need to be reconciled. And what we're seeing now is that the FDP and the Greens, and this is actually a first in German politics, that the FDP and the Greens, the two smaller junior parties in an eventual coalition, are sitting together now without the big senior partner and trying to iron out their differences before they enter negotiations with the SPD and the CDU to see what coalition will work there. So that's quite an interesting development here.
I'm just curious though, do you see any significant policy shifts regardless of the coalition that will eventually be formed?
There will be some. There will definitely be some. So let's presume they will go together with the SPD, which is, as I said, most likely and form this sort of traffic light coalition. What we will definitely see is a shift to the left. Olaf Scholz has campaigned as a Merkel 2.0, despite being from a different party, but his party, the SPD, is significantly shifted towards the left of center, right, in recent years. And we will see that in the negotiations as well. The Greens, of course, a center-left party too. So we can expect a shift to the left. The FDP will be sort of moderating this. I guess there will be a bit of the corrective in that left, center-left coalition. So what that means is that we will see, for instance, topics like climate change being quite prominent. But we will also see a national minimum wage, right? Something the CDU has always been very opposed to. But the FDP will also get some goodies. Mm. So their support will be vital to make this coalition going, right? So they will get some goodies. And that will be tax reform, for example, and possibly large investment in the private sector in supporting innovation and R&D.
Yeah, well, you know, Olaf Scholz, Merkel 2.0, that's pretty ironic since he's in the opposition. Does this mean that Merkel's legacy remains intact?
Okay, Merkel's legacy is a very difficult topic. So it is true that Scholz made a Merkel 2.0 during the campaign. And to some extent, Armin Laschet, Merkel's actual successor within her own party, tried the same but less successfully. So it's true, it is very ironic that the opposition leader actually became, became the Merkel 2.0 because Merkel and Merkel's style was so popular in Germany, right? This is really how Germans are very averse to change. Germans like... a bit like Singaporeans, I guess. We like to we like to move forward moderately, right? We don't like extremes. We like slow and incremental change, and that is kind of what Merkel symbolized, and Olaf Scholz tried to copy that. The problem is here that Merkel was indeed successful as a political leader, but she left domestically a bit of a mess, quite frankly. Right. There's a lot of reforms that need to be done because her style was always very moderate and restrained, and it was not reform oriented. And this is something that really needs to change.
Okay.
So that will be something the new government needs to address as well. Okay. Her legacy, I guess her legacy will be a crisis manager who navigated Germany and Europe through the most severe crisis in recent history, but she has left quite a lot of work to do for her successors.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Frederick Klein from the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies telling us about Angela Merkel's legacy, that she's a very good manager. I think no one doubts that. She's a good leader when it comes to global issues. But question marks arise over Germany's future. Are they being left behind, for example, in the technology race?
Yeah.
Are they stuck in old economy industries? Are they moving fast enough? Questions over environmental damage to Germany. We just saw the floods in summer, which caused, you know, it was a shock that people had actually unfortunately died from this natural disaster.
Yeah, I mean, this is an issue about grand coalitions, because with that, you don't get boldness and reform. And I think it's a lesson.
But is it their style, though?
Is it their style as well, right? But I think Merkel, because she had to build that grand coalition, she just couldn't move forward on many things that were bold or necessary. And I wonder if that's a message also applied home.
Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.